This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and guess what we talk about here? Brian, you know, right? Don't scratch your head. You know what we talk about. We talk about fishing. We talk about hunting. And we talk about the great outdoors. Of course we do. So for you duck hunters out there that are heading out to the marsh or your favorite little pond for some wood ducks, give us a call here at 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. For you bow hunters who are all bundled up this chilly morning, getting ready to go out and pursue that big buck, well, same deal. Give us a call, 410-922-6680. And for any of you fishermen headed out this morning, forgot to turn my phone off. Let's see here. There we go. All right. Let's see. Got that taken care of. For any of you fishermen out there who are headed out to do a little fishing, maybe some bass fishing or out in the bay, again, give us a call, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Did go duck hunting last Monday. It was a pretty day, and the ducks were flying well. We only managed to scratch out one wood duck and shoot terribly. Wednesday, I attended Donna Fisher's memorial service. Very touching. Got to meet with a lot of the family and friends and so forth that we got to know over the past few years, and it was a nice service, very nice service. Since Baltimore County was out of school yesterday, Jacob and I went deer hunting in Cecil County, and you know, you get in the stand and you wait and you watch and you wait and you watch, and the wind's shifting around and flipping and flopping, and well, we wound up seeing three deer, nothing close enough to shoot with the bow, but every time we're in the deer stand, we learn something. I try all kinds of different techniques when I'm alone or with when Jacob's with me, or even I'm hunting with Laura. And last night, I said my game plan is to use some young buck lure, which we've had success with in the past, put out a decoy, a buck decoy, and see if we get any interest. We know there's some pretty good deer in the area. So we put the decoy out right in the trail where we, you know, where we thought that a lot of deer could see it coming and going from from their perspective, and put out a little scent. We put some young buck on our boots, and we walked in, and then we put a little more scent out right there, and waited. And I said, Jake, when you see deer moving anywhere you can see them, I said, I want you to let me know so I can hit the grunt call. I don't like to blow the grunt call blind. I like to know that there's deer there or nearby, and I can see them. You know, I don't care if it's legs through the laurel. I want them to be able to, you know, be there, and rather than call blind, you know, do grunting blind. It can work, no question about it, but that's just me, my technique. So he popped me, you know, elbowed me and says, deer, you know, paw, deer. Okay. So he said, I just saw legs. So I said, all right, that's fine. So gave a couple little grunts on the grunt call, nothing loud, nothing exciting. And it turned out to be a really nice big doe and a fawn. And they started to come in, and I think the doe busted us on the ladder stand. I don't know that for a fact. I do know that she didn't like being grunted at. So they turned and kind of walked away, and that was it. No chance for a shot. They were just about 35 yards, 40 yards out. So I said, okay, well, that's interesting. At least they're on their feet. And Jacob says, bah, deer. Okay. So I looked over and he said, what is it? I think it's a doe. I said, no, it's getting late now. I mean, it's in the last 20 minutes. And I said, nah, Jake, I said, that's a buck. I said, I think it's a big buck, but I can't tell for sure. Let me get the binoculars up. Well, as it came in, he said, should I shoot it? I said, sure, if you want to. So always leave the option up to him. He's mature enough to know what he wants to take and what he doesn't want to take. So the buck came in. And it was let's say 10 o'clock to us, and it kind of turned around, looked around, and was watching. And I grunted, and it made a little semicircle. And boy, it spied the decoy. And when it spied the decoy, it froze. Boom, froze right in its tracks. Took a step backwards, just kind of turned and walked away. I said, okay. Know what happened there, Jake? He goes, yep. So the rack on the deer decoy, which is just a one of those folding Montana decoys. It's a silhouette basically, but it's painted like a deer on both sides. It looks nice standing in the woods. I said the rack on that deer was too big. That deer was about a 4-point, and I said that he was intimidated by the size of the rack on this deer decoy. And he said, yep. I said, so what do you think we do? He says, cut some points off the deer decoy. I said, that's exactly what we're going to do. All right, let's talk to Chuck in Michigan. Good morning, Chuck. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing?
Good. How goes the hunt?
Well, up here in Michigan, it's a little slow. We're seeing deer. James has got a big eight that keeps playing with him in his tree stand. He's coming in the opposite way.
Yeah.
But seeing a doe, I see a few doe and some bucks at 60 yards.
Yeah, 60 yards. Been there.
Yeah.
Yep, been there. So you're in Michigan on the physically challenged bow hunters trip, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep,
PCBA. And of course, we've chatted before, and we've talked about the PCBA, and you're in Michigan now, and how's the success rate been?
Well, there's four hunters here.
Okay.
Three of us have been here the whole time. It's the same thing. We're seeing something, no one's getting a shot at one.
Right.
I could have taken a doe the first morning at 8 o'clock and had my hunt be over.
Right.
But I decided to, stay out for a few days.
Well, you got one in the freezer from Maryland, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
And the fourth guy was supposed to come the last day. He called and he had some health issues, so he couldn't make the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a youth that was
Hello. Uh-oh. Well, I know where he's hunting is not conducive to good cell reception, so we'll just say good luck out there, Chuck. Enjoy your hunt in Michigan, and we'll see how that goes. So, anyway, I was talking about the deer hunt. So, when we get out of the woods, we always talk. Jacob and I always talk, and that's part of that process. You know, we've been hunting together since Jake was 12. He'll be 16 early next month. And, we always talk. What did you learn today? Well, we learned that the does don't like to be grunted at. And, and I said, okay, that's one thing. What else? He said, well, we learned that, that the deer was intimidated by the decoy. I said, yeah. He said, so what are you going to do? He said, you're going to cut one of the horns off of the, I said, I'm going to trim the rack back on that cart, that foam core decoy. I'll trim that back to be a less intimidating deer. And, We'll still use it during this time of the year and challenge those bucks and see what happens. So, and that was that. The duck hunt on Monday was in Carroll County. Plenty of birds, mallards, and wood ducks. Unfortunately, the hunt did not go as well as it could have gone. And that had to do with a lot of inexperience from some of the hunters who had not duck hunted before. I will tell you this. When you are hunting up close and personal, and especially wood ducks, you have got to be covered up. And what I mean by that is you have got to be camoed head to toe, including a face mask, including gloves, and you have got to maintain as still of a posture as possible. Because if you want a sharp-eyed duck to come in and land or come in and commit to the decoys, you know, within 40 yards, you had better be still and you had better be covered up. You can't operate without a face mask. You can't operate with just plain colored clothing that looks like a blob. You've got to have that silhouette broken up. Remember, birds, ducks, geese can see color, whereas mammals, not necessarily. For example, deer do not see in shades of in color. They see in shades of black and white and gray. Where a deer's eyesight differs is that they are particularly sensitive to ultraviolet light. And what I mean by that is if you use whiteners and brighteners to wash your hunting clothing, you're going to look like a glow stick out there because they can pick up those whiteners and brighteners. Those whiteners and brighteners that make those colors look brilliant in your wash and make your whites look whiter are nothing but UV enhancers, ultraviolet light enhancers, that cause the light to reflect differently off your clothing than if you didn't use them. So use one of the detergents designed to hunting clothing, scent-free and UV negligent or negative clothing detergent. So when you wash your camo, you're not enhancing the blue color in that clothing by brightening using UV brighteners on that. I'm trying to explain this simply, and it's not going well. But basically, if you use a standard detergent that says whitens and brightens or, you know, and makes your colors pop or whatever it says on there, whatever marketing strategy, that's what you don't want because that is a UV brightener, an ultraviolet light brightener that just causes the light to reflect differently off the clothing, which mammals are sensitive to. So that being said. So anyway, we scratched out one nice duck, one nice Drakewood duck, and we took that to our taxidermist. We're trying a new taxidermist. A friend of mine who's been in the taxidermy business just has not mounted anything for me, Johnny Barisi at Precision Taxidermy. He's close in Catonsville. And, you know, we talked to Johnny, and I looked at his birds, and I was satisfied with that. So we're gonna try that for now. So he's really trying to make a name for himself in the waterfowl world. So, you know, he's a good guy. All right. So that's that. We are giving a muzzleloader away today. And I don't know if Chuck's going to call back or not, but I think he's already in the contest. I'm not sure. We're giving away a CVA muzzleloader. I'm not sure what model we're doing yet, but somebody's going to win a brand new muzzleloader from the fine folks at CVA. And we encourage you to go to CVA.com or check out the CVA at your local dealers. I'll tell you, I've been shooting CVAs for years. I've got Remingtons. I've got Thompson Centers. I've been shooting CVAs, I've taken deer, I've taken a bear with a CVA, and their dependability is right there for me. And I'll just continue to use them. Right now I'm using an Acura mountain rifle. Boy, I'll tell you what, I like that gun, especially in a tree stand. I took a deer with it last year and enjoyed shooting that gun, and it's extremely accurate. Remember, optics are what makes your gun perform better. Optics, good optics. You know, put the best scope on there that you can afford. I don't care if it's a Leopold or a Nikon or a Swarovski or a Zeiss or whatever. Whatever you can afford that does the best job for you, that's what you absolutely want. So, anyway, CVA. They're giving away a muzzleloader, and here's how you win. You simply call the radio station, 410-922-6680 or 1-800-922-6680, and you talk to Brian, and you say, I want to get in the muzzleloader contest. Brian will write your name and your phone number down. Very simple. You come on the air with me, and you say, hi, Alan, I just wanted to get in the contest, or you can talk about a subject, you can ask a question, whatever you want to talk about, we will when it comes to that. And once you do that, you're in the contest. Very simple, very simply done. So Pretty easy to do. So you can start calling 410-922-6680. And, you know, sometimes the calls get backed up. We might have to have you wait for a minute or two. But, you know, it's all good. And you could win a great muzzleloader. CVA will ship that muzzleloader directly to your house once we get your, you know, the winner and you win and, you know, give us your address. We'll send that right to wherever you want it sent. So there you go. Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free year-round tournament hosted by Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for everyone who fishes recreationally in Maryland. Eligible fish include all the game fish in Maryland, from the Atlantic to the Chesapeake, all the way into the freshwater streams and rivers and ponds and lakes. Almost 70 species of fish. And there are different divisions, freshwater and Chesapeake Bay and tidal, Atlantic coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. There's a youth division, too, connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. All you have to do is catch a fish of a notable specified size. You get your official angler award certificate, and you get an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win a myriad of prizes. And this past year, the 2015 contest, they gave away almost $25,000 in cash. So the fish are biting right now. The weather's getting cooler. The fish are starting to really feed. And, you know, just fish a little slower, fish a little smarter, and you can catch a great fish and get your angler award and get in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It's not the time to stay indoors. It's beautiful weather. Go fish. The official rules online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Deer hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you can win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFH deer processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
before. Got mad and closed the door. But you said, child, just once more. I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life.
Little blood, sweat, and tears. Let's talk to James in Easton. Good morning, James. How are you, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
Living the dream.
Yeah, just going out for shoreline plugging this morning. Hopefully the weather will be nice.
Oh, good. Yeah, shoreline plugging. It is the time of year. Are you finding some fish in the shallows?
I haven't been able to get out with the weather. You know, the wind on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be windy today, too, so watch out there.
Yeah, we're going to try first thing here. Hopefully we can stay out just for a little bit.
Sure, sure. So where are you fishing? What area?
Chow Tank.
Okay, sure.
Chow Tank, around the Trent Avon River.
Okay, good.
Other than that, I try to get out as much as I can, but like I say, the weekends and the weather, just they don't cooperate all the time.
Not always. Nope, you're right about that. So.
Yep.
All right, you're gonna be running top water or what?
Yeah, surface plugs.
Good. Good.
Surface plugs, so
pop bars and things like that. Popping lures.
Popping lures, and I'll let you know how we do.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Thank you,
buddy. See ya. There goes Jim and Easton. All right. Hey, listen. My phone lit up last Sunday when the news came out from the Natural Resources Police that they were investigating a fatal hunting accident, and our heart goes out to the Coppedge family from the Eastern Shore, where Marvin Bowen Coppedge of Centerville was killed on October 10th, last Sunday. He was 75 years old. According to the report, he was guiding a party on a shooting preserve and was shot by one of the clients, a 14-year-old boy. I feel sorry for the family. I feel sorry for the boy. I feel sorry for everyone involved in that tragic accident. And the thing that struck me, and of course you can go online and read Mr. Coppedge's obituary at the Eastern Star Democrat. Lifelong farmer, 75 years old, leaves a lot of folks behind. But what got my attention was this. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Marvin B. Coppedge Children's Hunter Education Fund, care of Centerville National Bank, 105 North Commerce Street, Centerville, Maryland, 21617, to provide hunting education and safety training to children. Let me read that again. Here's a man who was shot and killed by a youth hunter. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Marvin B. Coppedge Children's Hunter Education Fund, care of Centerville National Bank, 109 North Commerce Street, Centerville, Maryland, 21617, to provide hunting education and safety training to children. That's special, folks. I don't know what you think about that, but I think that is tremendously inspiring. Tremendously. And the Coppedge family, again, hearts go out to you folks. If any of you in the extended family are listening, prayers for you from the Outdoorsman Radio Show and our listeners. I hope you're comforted in this difficult time. And I want to thank you personally thank you from Alan Ellis, host of the Outdoorsman Radio Show and publisher of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, executive director of the Maryland Hunting Coalition. I want to personally thank the Coppedge family for thinking of this brilliant and inspiring idea to remember your loved one. Marvin Coppedge. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. All right, let's move on. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. So a German hunter shot a tusker in Zimbabwe. A tusker. A tusker is a male bull elephant whose tusks weigh in excess of 100 pounds apiece. Man shot this animal. Picture was online, and immediately the knives came out from every alleged animal activist group in the world, pretty much condemning this guy for spending $60,000 to take this animal. And we've discussed at length what happens to trophy fees in African countries. They are used to prevent poaching. They are used for the conservation of these creatures. The elephant was harvested legally. I'm sure the meat will go to the folks on the ground there, the group that, you know, the villages and so forth that surround wherever this elephant was taken. There's all kinds of accusations that this elephant wandered off of some shooting preserve, you know, trying to relate to Cecil the Lion thing, which, by the way, the dentist who shot Cecil the Lion, there will be no charges brought against him in Zimbabwe. Anyway, this fella is being reviled now for killing an elephant legally and for promoting conservation, for feeding people, and for helping to prevent poaching. That's what the lot that befalls hunters who are well healed enough to be able to travel to the dark continent and to be able to take an animal, one animal. Now, also in Zimbabwe, we read this past week where they discovered about three dozen carcasses of elephants that had been poisoned by cyanide. You see, these poachers don't care about refuge borders. They don't care about conservation. They care about one thing, money. They care about the ivory trade. So what they do is they get cyanide, which is used in gold mining in Africa, and they obtain that quantities of cyanide, and they take oranges and they lace them with cyanide, or they take a salt block or a pan of salt or whatever they use to put out to bait an elephant, and they lace it with cyanide, and the elephants immediately become weakened after they eat the orange or lick the salt, and they die. And they die a horrible death. And then their carcasses are cold, the poachers scramble over them and chop their tusks out and do what they do with those. And guess what? There's no conservation. There's only poaching. There's only money involved. And there's dead elephant carcasses that do no one any good except the buzzards. Now, Zimbabwe officials said, because we've banned hunting, legitimate hunting activities in Zimbabwe, it has given rise to these bands of poachers who continually do this. At one point, they discovered 300 elephants a couple of years ago that had been killed by cyanide. I believe it was last year there were 14 or 15 that were found. This year was about three dozen. And wildlife officials discovered these carcasses, and apparently the poachers were in the act of chopping out the tusks of these creatures because some of the animals still had their tusks in them. So they weren't able to even harvest their ill-gotten gain. And Zimbabwe simply said, hunters pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, like this fellow that killed this tusker, $60,000 trophy fee to kill this elephant, which goes to benefit conservation, anti-poaching activities. And the carcass benefits the people there. They eat it. But the poachers pay nothing and only take. Zimbabwe said it's because we ended sport hunting that these poachers feel that they can do this, because we don't have the money now to patrol. We don't have the money now to prevent this type of poaching, because the visitors to these parks that have all this wildlife pay $10 to go in and see them. And there's not enough visitors there to make up the void. Compare $60,000 to take one animal to $10 for 1,000 visitors a year, or however many they get, to go take pictures of them. I think you can see the inequity there. I don't want to hear any bashing of, quote, trophy hunters because of what those people in that hunting community do for the conservation of our wild creatures, what they do for the anti-poaching protection, what they do for the sustainability of the species. If occasionally we take one surplus animal who's past his prime breeding age, and we take that animal because of its, quote, trophy status, because it is a magnificent creature, but it's past its prime, so be it. I don't go deer hunting to shoot spike bucks. I don't go deer hunting to shoot 4 points or even 6 points, although I have. I go deer hunting to do deer management. I'm trying to take trophy does, and that's what I like for the, when I say a trophy doe, a mature doe, and that's what I like for the freezer, a doe rather than a buck. And if I have an opportunity to take a nice buck, I'm going to do that. That's what keeps me back dry. That's what drives me back into the woods more and more and more. Those mature animals. And anybody that says that's not it, I'll challenge on that. 410-922-6680. 410-WCBM-680. Call and comment if you like. This story also came out this week. Apparently there's a Walmart in Louisiana, and they got a product in called gun oil. Comes in a bullet-shaped container. And they stocked it in the sporting goods section. Gun oil. Little bullet holes through the each letter, you know, like you, these bullet, yeah, gun oil. Looks like a cartridge. Black can, bullet-shaped cap. And the poor folks at this Alabama Walmart were made fun of by the Huffington Post. And here's the headline. Alabama Walmart cluelessly stocks gun counter with gun oil lube. Jamie Lee Bracey stumbled across gun oil, lubricant popular with gay men. A lubricant popular with gay men. Was stocked among the store's weaponry wares back on September 18th. According to a video Mr. Bracey posted on Facebook, the Walmart in Florence, Alabama, had the product readily available for sale at its gun counter. So I guess he's reading this can. It says water-based lubricant for your gun. I was like, water-based? That could rust, right? Let's see here. Long-lasting lubrication with easy cleanup. Glycerin and paraben-free, wetter, lighter feel than silicone. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. I think my gun would work really good. Then I see ginseng and guarina to promote blood flow, and I'm like, what? For topical use, applied desired amount to, well, you get the idea. So, the writer comments, thanks, good people of Walmart in Florence, Alabama, for your very literal thinking, which gave all of us the laugh we needed today. James Michael Nichols is the writer for the Huffington Post. He is the deputy gay voices editor. Just thought you'd like to know. Maybe you got a laugh out of it. But, you know, we're just a bunch of rubes. You and me and all of us. We see a container of a product that says gun oil. And what do we think of? Gay men see a container that says gun oil and is shaped like a bullet. And what do they think of? I'm disgusted. Let's talk to Wes. Good morning, Wesley. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Alan.
What's up?
Oh, you were talking about washing your hunting clothes a little earlier.
Yes, sir.
You know, years ago, I was taught to wash my clothes, and we were taught to use baking soda.
That's true. That works as well as anything.
Takes the smell out, any, you know, body odor or anything out.
And yep.
Doesn't enhance the color.
Nope.
In fact, it dulls color.
Yep. Exactly. That's because of the abrasive action in baking soda. You know, you use baking soda is used in toothpaste, and you know you can do a lot of stuff with baking soda. That's for sure. Clean. It's a good cleaner too.
Yes, Steve.
Yep, and that's what you put in your refrigerator to absorb all the odors and
yep.
all that type
that's
of stuff.
That's one of those old tricks. You know, I mean, you know, we've been doing that for forever.
Sure. Now, do you use any detergent at all, or do you just use baking soda?
Just use baking soda.
Right.
Hang the clothes on the line.
Sure. Well, some of us don't have that opportunity to do that, but, yeah, I get the idea. You can air dry your clothes rather than put them in the dryer.
And my wife throws the softener towels in the dryer, and that stinks up the dryer, but if you just hang them outside, you don't get to pick up that stuff.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yep. I still dry my clothes. I use a commercial product to clean my clothes, and you know I don't have any issues with it. Some of those products you do want to test though, because you can be allergic to some of the ingredients in some of those things. But the point is that the UV brighteners that are used in, for example, non-chlorine bleach for some detergents, even though they're scent free. And that type of thing. If you look, it says whiter, brighter clothes or whatever it says on there, you know that's got the UV brighteners in there. So you want to avoid that. As I said, if you've ever seen any comparisons about how a person sees and how a deer sees, the UV brighteners will give your clothing almost a blue glow in the eyes of a deer. The difference is in the rods and the cones in the back of the deer's eye.
Yeah, I've seen that before, you know, and I agree. They really do. And I can tell you that the baking soda works. I've had deer within 5 feet of it.
No doubt it works. I'm not discounting anything you said there, brother. That's a great idea for people who want to save money. That's for sure.
Me.
Me too, buddy. Maybe I have to go back to buying baking soda and using that instead of what I'm using.
All right.
Okay.
All right, good to talk to you, Alan. Hey, keep it up with the Hunters Coalition, man. I think it's a great organization. I'm really glad you keeping that going.
Where do you see what comes next? Have you been on the website lately?
I have not in a couple months.
Well, you need to get on there again because we put our summary for the Hunting Summit on there. We had a Hunting Summit on September 27th, which was our first anniversary and the day after National Hunting and Fishing Day. And we brought together, I think, 24, 25 people representing 16 different organizations. And it was a listening day. We wanted to hear what these groups had to say. A wildlife director was there, and he said what he had to say. And if you go on there, look, and it's the top item on the right-hand column, it's the summary of our hunting summit. So go check that out.
I will do that.
And we also have a Deer Hunters raffle on there, too. We've got a camo 25-06 with a 3-9 scope. We've got a Savage 220 slug gun, and we've got a nice bow too, a nice Krypton bow from the folks at Martin.
All right.
Yeah, go check it.
I will do that.
Thanks, Wes. All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Hey, let me tell you about Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Why, they're just off of Beltway, exit number 9. If you're looking for a fine firearm, and if you want to go waterfowl hunting, I'm going to recommend a couple here to you. 4 shotguns for waterfowl. If you like to do snow geese and sea ducks and you like that 10-gauge, the Gold Light 10-gauge is the one to go. It's a proven standard for auto-loading performance. It's a 3.5-inch gas-operated auto-loader. It comes in the composite DuraTouch stock, armor coating, mossy oak camo, comes with 3 Invector choke tubes. Number 2, the BPS pump. If you like the pump-action shotgun, the BPS is the way to go. Comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and also 10-gauge. Also has a 12 and 20 gauge rifled barrel deer models available. It's a bottom ejection. Comes in the Mossy Oak Duro Touch armor coating as well, and Mossy Oak Infinity camo. Also comes with 3 choke tubes if you get the waterfowl version. Then there's the Maxxis. Now this is the autoloader shotgun that has waterfowl hunting perfected. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers. It's a new power drive gas system that reduces recoil, and that's the Maxxis. You want to take a look at that one too. So while you're shopping, you got the Gold Light, the Maxxis, the BPS pump, and then the shotgun I will own someday, the A5. The most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil operated autoloader on the planet. Has a 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. The kinematic drive system comes in, you know, the standard walnut and blue. Also comes in camo and black synthetic models available. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Gunsmithing, licenses, scope mounting, and anything you need. 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 is their phone number. ClydeSports.com is the website.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number 1, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge, a free year-round tournament going on right now for 2016. It's hosted by Maryland DNR Fishery Service for everyone. Hold on. Sorry, had to clear the throat. It happens in this business. DNR, let's see. Should we start again? Let's start again. Maryland Fishing Challenge, free year-round tournament, now for 2016 through Labor Day of next year, hosted by the Maryland DNR Fishery Service for everyone who fishes recreationally in Maryland. Eligible fish, 70 species from everywhere in Maryland. Atlantic Ocean, Chesapeake Bay, all the freshwater. Chesapeake Bay, freshwater, tidal, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and invasive species. There's a category for everything. Even a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing I'm really having a good time with this spot this morning. Why are you snickering there, Brian? There's a youth division connected to the online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a big fish, and you check it in, and you get your angler award. It's pretty much that simple. And then you're entered in the contest, and then next year, you might win a big prize or some cash. It's pretty simple. Fish are biting everywhere. Just go fishing. Don't stay inside. Go fish. Rules are dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries.
Hey, hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into 3 regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.com.
FHFH.org.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The Middle East is ablaze. Is it going to fall apart? We'll talk about it on the next Tom Marr Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early, and honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out in brown and green. She's the sexiest tree I've ever seen. Can't concentrate, we're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun and I'm holding her hand. And even when it's cold, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage. Yeah.
All right, we're back. I'm sorry to hold everybody up. Let's talk to Dan in White Marsh. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I'm doing good.
Good.
I just want to thank you for putting out there about the trophy hunter. Now, I never had a problem with meat hunters. I'm not a hunter.
I don't have a problem with meat hunters either. I love deer meat.
Right, right. And I eat, you know, I eat meat out of the grocery store, and when I can occasionally get a venison steak thrown my way, oh, I'll chow down on it. But I always had an issue with the trophy hunter, you know, going out to kill the animal for its hide. But you really presented a pretty compelling argument that the money they generate goes towards fighting this poaching. When you lose 30, I think you said 3 dozen elephants in a season to poaching for nothing but its tusks, well, and somebody's legitimately paying, and that money is being put back into the system to keep the park running, to keep the rangers paid.
Always been that way. Always been that way.
But that's not an argument I've ever heard made for the trophy hunter. You know, so thank you. Thank you for putting that out there.
Well,
that's all I really wanted to say.
You're quite welcome. And, you know, these fellows that have land, Eastern Shore, Western Maryland, Center, wherever, where they manage their deer herd, all right, what they're managing for is a better quality animal, okay? If you've got 50 deer per square mile and your landscape can only support 20 and you got them running everywhere, then you need to manage that herd and you need to bring that buck to doe balance back into ratio. Okay. So these fellows will go out and they'll harvest does and they'll harvest does and they'll harvest does and they'll donate them, they'll eat them, and that's what they use for their sustenance. Then they will take out the inferior bucks. What I mean by that is they'll take bucks out whose gene pool has been degraded by inbreeding or bad nutrition or something like that.
Right,
and then they will have a herd of deer whose buck to doe ratio is in balance the way it's supposed to be. They'll have genetically strong bucks and does, because they're not competing for every scrap of food on the property, okay?
Right.
And if they want to select one of those deer, once it passes its prime breeding age, and that deer gets to 5.5, 6.5, 7.5 years old, and that's one they want to take, so be it. But if they want to manage their property and take a trophy buck, because they've watched this deer grow, they've seen this deer grow, and they know that that deer's genetics are implanted in that herd now, and that, you know, future generations are going to come along with the same strong genetics, who am I to say that they're doing something because, oh, well, all they want to do is shoot a deer for horn? These guys invest thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in food plots to And nutrition, I mean, mineral supplements and food supplements to make those deer stronger, better, better bones, better antlers, more muscle tone. And you know, oh, we got to criticize the trophy hunter because he manages his farm to kill a big buck?
Actually, it makes perfect sense. You know, this guy's also investing his time and his learning. And
it's a 365. It's a 365 day a year job. You've got to provide mineral supplements in the wintertime. And the reason is you want to maintain strong antler growth and you want to maintain good milk production for the pregnant does. Okay? You can't just say, well, they're out there, they're wild animals, they're on their own. Well, yeah, they'll survive, absolutely. Will they thrive? Don't know. But if you're managing your farm and you want a robust deer herd, a sustainable, superior, or strong anyway, deer herd, then you've got to invest a little time and effort.
Right.
Can't go out there in the first day of deer season and kill the first spike buck that walks up. You can, and I don't care if you do it if you're a kid, but if you've been hunting for 20 years and you continue to take, you know, these little bucks, these spikes and 4 points and 6 points because they walk up and, you know, oh, there's a buck, let's kill it. What are you doing?
That's all stuff I'd never thought about hunting, actually, but that promotion of a strong gene pool really makes sense. That's, you want the bigger, stronger deer out there just, you know, for sustainability.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know exactly what you mean.
Well, that's what you're arguing. discussing.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you, and keep up the good work.
All right, buddy, thanks. See ya. Bye-bye. There goes Dan. Well, I hope everybody got the muzzleloader contest. We're coming back the next hour. You're going to run the show again the next hour. Your calls are important. Muzzleloader contest continues through the end of the year, actually. We're giving one away in October, one away in November, one away in December. And it'll be the last Saturday of the month that we do that. And, you know, getting muzzleloader contest. I did mention Maryland Hunting Coalition. I do invite you to go to the Maryland Hunting Coalition page. Check out the Deer Hunter Raffle. Two guns and a bow. Tickets are there. And also our upcoming event in Westminster, March 26th. Anyway, time for me to say, gotta go, at least for the break, and get out, stay safe.